With me in the studio today, I have my dear friend, Dr. Avery Jackson. It's so fantastic having you in the studio. You're brilliant. You're
Thanks
brilliant.
For
you're a
me.
Surgeon, and
Thank
just
you.
Give us a quick 2 minute, 1 minute rundown on who you are, Dr. Avery Jackson. You're a surgeon.
So I'm a neurosurgeon, so I do brain surgery and spine surgery, training at multiple hospitals. Complex spine is my specialty, and I'm in private practice.
And you also have a patent on some special spine.
So I have four companies, and I have one of the companies called Optical Spine owns something called the VisiProbe, and that's just it's a really neat endoscopic device that assists with spine surgery.
That's incredible. So now the reason I wanted you to say all of this, and you have multiple degrees, you just quickly, very quickly go through the different levels.
So many degrees. So undergrad, University of Chicago, Wayne State for medical school, Northwestern University for my general surgery internship, Penn State for neurosurgery training, and then complex spine fellowship in neurosurgery at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee.
That's like a thesis. That's phenomenal. That is powerful. Now, the reason that I know this about you, I know how brilliant you are, I know how much you've studied. But despite that, you have such an interesting background. I want you to tell the listeners about you growing up and what you went through, because this particular show, we're going to talk about ADHD. And does it really exist? Is it really a disease? Is it what they say it is?
Right. So I was a very active kid. So, and you'd say I was hyperactive. And I was even labeled as having ADHD. I had a single mom, and my mom would oftentimes have to drop me off at her my godmother's house, because at some point she just couldn't handle me, right? I was just all over the place.
Oh,
and she described, I wasn't a bad kid. I was just
busy,
really
busy kid.
Very busy, had a lot of energy. I spoke very fast. I wrote fast. Everything was really very fast. And one of the things
But you knew what you were doing, didn't you?
I think, and one of the pieces about ADHD that's really concerning to me in today's society is that people are labeled with ADHD, and in fact, it could be either an issue with the fact that you're just a really active person.
Yeah.
We know that your brain, as you mentioned, oftentimes we can function our subconscious at quantum speeds. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there are certain children who think very fast. And one of the problems that we were having, and the problem that I had, was is that in the school system, mm-hmm. I was taught the traditional way, but it was so slow for me that I couldn't process the information well. So instead, it didn't keep my attention. Mm. And so since it didn't keep my attention, I'd look out of the window, or I'd have to focus on other things.
To keep you kind of
keep
in the
me
zone.
Calm,
yeah.
To keep me calm. And it was, and so I was initially a C student, actually, in elementary school. And it was because of that. And I had a passion for a lot of different things, but because of that traditional system, it was really a challenge. And as a matter of fact, the impulses were so strong that to sit still and to hear data or stimuli come at me very slowly was literally painful. Like I could feel these shocks going down my spine, because my whole being wanted to process
everything.
Like I want the smells of life, the sounds, like everything I wanted to process in a way that I could handle it. And so it was coming at me so slow that there was this huge residual buildup, and I could just feel it, just these shocks down my spine.
Like a frustration, because your body was too slow for your mind.
Yeah.
And that can happen I was a specialist in ADHD when I practiced clinically. I specialized in TBI, traumatic brain injury, and learning disabilities. And I never even called it ADHD, because that name came out in the early 80s, sort of late 70s, early 80s. And I remember our professor telling us that this is going to be a problem, this label, the DSM-3 released the label. So it's a psychiatric label, and psychiatric labels are always a bit questionable because they're not based on science. So if you look at the history scientifically of ADHD, it doesn't actually exist. Now, I know already the listeners are thinking, but I've got this child and Avery's just described something. But it's not actually ADHD we're talking about. We're talking about people that think differently.
Yes, and there you have people that are brilliant.
And so, everyone's
yes,
brilliant.
Yes, everyone's brilliant.
But processing things differently.
The process, and so, and for the parents that are listening to this, you know, please don't do your children a disservice. Please understand that you have brilliance among you. Okay?
Exactly.
You have brilliant children, and what you have to do is not with prayer, with the 5-step process that you have, the learning process, and then the 21-day
brain detox.
Those pearls of wisdom can be applied to your children in particular and can really help them focus and understand the environment in which they're interacting with, okay? And so it's extremely important, not only in terms of learning and education, of course, but just interacting with the world and life, and the level, the way the stimulus comes into their ears and their eyes and their brain. They have to be able to process that information in a way that is comfortable for them. What's really important, I've also noticed, is that the focus in someone who has this very active mind is one quick mechanism or technique that helps is if you can divide their focus among different modalities. That is to say, for instance, classical music. There have been studies that have shown that classical music helps brain function. Mm-hmm. So music can take away a certain amount of their attention and still help their brain. And then if you can divide their attention and they're doing something else, like in prayer, or they're thinking about a scripture that they're kind of bathing in throughout the day and focusing on that, then the rest of their attention can focus, say, on the specific homework or the specific task. And by dividing their focus into 2 or 3 parts, it now slows, it doesn't slow their brain down, but now by separating the attention into 2 or 3 different segments, they can handle the speed at which basic information is coming into their ears, into their eyes.
That's fantastic advice.
So it's super important. And so from someone who has been there, I've learned that not only when as a youngster, but also the way that I studied in college and the way that I studied in medical school was that I would turn on the music. I would have a scripture that I would kind of really just meditate on. And then now that those two pieces are going, then I could focus squarely on the information that I was studying, and it was just the right cadence to absorb the information and be effective. The other piece was speed reading. And what was interesting, speed reading in college is it wasn't so fast that it wasn't so much that I'm reading fast. It was the speed reading. The content
you
was
found your space that was good for you.
That's, space that was good for me and speed reading and also retention. People think that speed reading is just about speed, but it's not. The biggest emphasis is actually
on
the retention,
the understanding of
and
what
the understanding
read, and
of what
and
you've
the
read.
Building of the memory.
Yeah. And that's another piece that was extremely helpful.
I had to work against, in the early 80s, I had to work a lot against the speed reading trend. Oh. And I'd have these patients, I can read 2,000 words a minute, but they couldn't understand the thing they read. So that's not really what you want to do. You want to read at the speed that you are comfortable with. And for someone, it'll be 200 words a minute. For someone else, it will be 1,000.
Right.
You've got to find your pace where you can actually get the understanding.
Right.
So what you've given is some incredibly practical advice and a lot of hope. And I think one of the things that we need to take, there's so much to take, and we'll have to have more discussions about this, but one of the important things to take out of this is that you actually manage the situation. You've given some incredibly good tips, and that there's actually a way forward for people. I have, in my practice, as I said, I would work with learning disability and not ADHD, because ADHD doesn't really exist. What we have is, you've so clearly described, is people that think differently, and we can't box people. All of us think differently, but there's that society is geared towards a certain type of thinking. Mm-hmm. And if you don't fit in that box, then you're going to have a problem. So before the advance of technology, it was a little bit less. We didn't have as much referral, but with the advance of technology, that has expanded, and now we have this trend, and it's fashionable to say, oh, I'm ADHD as an adult, ADHD. It's being used as an excuse for everything.
That's right.
And it's not actually in existence. We are allowing something to take over our minds that isn't actually true. It's much more of a reorganization of our minds. So we need to get that label away, because labels lock us in, and focus in on what the real issue is.
Yeah.
In our discussions, you've told me about the power of influence of your mom. Your mom did something, and you've just said there that it's so important as a parent to not just to spend the time and to not just listen to what the world is telling you. Can you
right.
share that?
So my mom did not label me with ADHD as others wanted. She refused to. And because she didn't give me the medications that would have applied for ADHD, the stimulants, the Ritalin and so forth.
Like cocaine in the brain.
Right. It allowed me to go on to higher education and do better things. Had my brain been dumbed down, I would have been able to go to the top universities.
Your memory.
And my memory wouldn't have been there. And then
emotionally.
And then graduating from a university that has more Nobel laureates than any other university in the world, which is University of Chicago.
That is phenomenal.
Graduating from a neurosurgery residency a year early. Has never happened, and that happened with me. So those are some of the pieces that would have never happened had I been given
you
medications.
You may not have even gone into medicine.
Maybe not even medicine. I wouldn't have passed the tests. I wouldn't have been able to study and focus.
This is powerful and something that is worth emphasizing, because I saw this in my practice, that the deterioration in memory and behavior with kids on these drugs, that's why I used to wean them off the drugs. And this is what you've shown. It affects your memory, your cognition, your functioning, your behavior, your emotional, your social. This is not something that we can play around with. And I know this is a message that's quite hard to hear for some parents. We don't want them to go into a series of guilt. A sense of guilt. We want parents to realize we're here to help them. And there's a lot on my site to help parents to understand more about this. And we're going to have a lot more discussions to just explain these concepts. Do you have any final words that you could say about?
Sure. And I would say that the stimulants are not really helping the children. I think instead focus on attention, focus on diet because the sugars aren't helping, and focus on exercise. And if you do that for your child, you will find that they will stabilize and be very happy, and so will you.
I want to reemphasize that. We have to take a holistic approach. We have to look at the child in context. Who are they? How are they? Don't put them in a box. We have to make sure that they're eating real food. Mm-hmm. Real food mindfully, that they're using their mind. To that end, I have a book called Think and Eat Yourself Smart. And a program.
Which is a wonderful book, by the way. I've read it. It's great.
You want my endorser, so thank you. But that's really geared and based on my experience. It really helps people to understand how to eat properly and eat the food to give nutrition to your brain. I mean, you know, as a neurosurgeon, if you're going to feed your children high fructose corn syrup, GMO-based products, that's contributing. It's a huge contributor. Not getting enough exercise because they're sitting too still on the iPhones and watching TV. We have to get them moving. We have to have them running around. And these are really simple, practical things that I did in my practice with my patients. I would get them off the medications. I would get them into eating healthy, into exercise, and then work on teaching them how to learn, how to organize the environment. And in terms of in terms of organizing the environment, you gave some incredibly good tips in terms of breaking it up and categorizing and breaking it down. So one more thing just about the Ritalin, and there's different versions of Ritalin. This is a drug, not a pill popping solution to people, your children being busy. We need to recognize that the research actually does show that it is neurotoxic to the brain and actually causes brain damage and sets our children up for a lot of other issues. It was always my objective in my practice to get children off medication because it's very addictive and it doesn't actually help at the time or long term. And then we'll have a lot of parents that will say, oh, but it does, they're calmer, they're this, but you've actually numbed down their ability to process. And the reason I'm saying that is that you said that you had a desire to experience the sensory perceptual world and it was frustrating and there was this residual delay. If you give someone Ritalin, you're going to numb the brain, you're going to take away a whole part of the developmental process.
Yeah. And that requires having attention detail and spending time with your children,
exactly.
Which means that you have to allow them to play and be children, as opposed to putting them in the corner and drugging them so then they're quiet.
Exactly.
Right? That's not helping them. That's damaging the brain. It's not helping them.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's a lot on my site on Ritalin and the dangers and how to withdraw and how to get back into healthy eating patterns and so on. Mm-hmm. Dr. Avery, thank you for being here. You've been amazing. And I can't wait to have you back on the show again because your advice and knowledge is invaluable.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story.
It's been a pleasure.
God bless you. Thank you.